morning we want to look into God's word. John chapter 16, and we want to look at something about our identity. So I don't really know what title to call it. So maybe a matter of identity. Hallelujah. You know, preachers, sometimes the challenge you have is not the message, but what to call the message. So maybe if you are led of God to be helping us give titles to the messages. So sometimes we are preaching the second or third in the series before we discover the title. When we were teaching on prayer life of a believer, it was the third session before we give it the title. So it was just a message. It didn't have title until the third session. The Lord help us. Hallelujah. All right. John chapter 16. Okay, let's start from Matthew chapter 16, I think. Matthew 16. Amen. All right. Matthew 16, verse 18. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he had disciples saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And he said, "Some say that I am John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Jesus is extremely concerned about the matter of identity. The matter of identity is no small issue when it comes to you being a believer in Christ. If we take the cue from Jesus, he was asking them, he first asked them the question, "Who do men say that I am? What's men's opinion?" And we understand from that question the fact that the way Jesus was received, where he preached, was a function of how men saw him and what they understood about him. So you can receive someone, not necessarily in the light of who they really are, but based on your assumption of who they are. So the issue of identity was no small issue where Jesus was concerned. You notice that right from the Old Testament books, or what the Bible calls the scriptures, when the Bible says the scriptures, talking about Genesis to Malachi, in the book of Exodus, when God introduced himself to Moses by the burning bush, Moses asked a question. He said that, "When they ask me who sent me, who should I say sent me?" And God said, "I am that I am." Now that's King James translation. What he really said was this: "I am who I will be." In other words, he spoke in the light of his redemptive work for mankind. That's what he was saying. In other words, "I will become a man one day in order for man to be redeemed from sin." God spoke in the light of what he will do. In other words, he introduced himself based on his personality, his character, and his ability, plus his plans and purposes. That's how he introduced himself. You will discover something amazing in the four Gospels, and that's the fact that they didn't have too much of a problem with the miracles Jesus did. But they had a major problem with his personality, his identity. Most of the persecution came because Jesus never stopped declaring who he was. Hallelujah. He never stopped declaring who he was. It was something he did constantly. They saw the works, but many never understood who he really was. And you will see, as he was asking this question, even though Peter had a revelation, he had a partial revelation. He knew Jesus was the Messiah. Peter answered Jesus, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus told him, "Flesh and blood didn't tell you that." In other words, you can't observe my life and discover that truth. You can't look to my parents and discover who I am. It has to be revealed to you by the Father. Say amen. So the issue of personality is so important. Just your identity in Christ is not a joking matter. You know, again, many times when you see believers misbehave, when you see them in places where you shouldn't see them, when you see them engaging in activities that are not godly, enough times because they don't have a consciousness of identity. And this has nothing to do with how long you have been born again. You can be born again and not grow. So the measure of your growth is how much you know of who you are. So you notice that in our prayer meetings, we're always praying Ephesians 1:17 for revelation. And some think it's a joke. You know, you just treat it like, you don't have any nothing to pray about. Let's pray about money. Dangote didn't pray, he's rich. Idamo doesn't require prayer much. When he requires prayer, we'll pray about it. But there's something heavier that you have that he doesn't have. Hallelujah. There's something heavier that the richest man in the world does not have that you have. And so when you're not praying prayers that have to do with the senses or your perception of environment, many people don't come for prayer meetings. Because many people are so sense-ruled, is a major problem in the body of Christ. And that's why so many are open to deception. Do you know there are prayer points they will raise? If you know who you are, you won't say amen. May God open the heavens to you. Why should you be saying amen? You, heaven should be open to you. Where do you dwell? Where do you sit? Who are you seated with? There's a problem. And you see them circulating those kind of prayer points. And you are quickly, in fact, have you seen those kind of postmodernism? The hand that we type amen. You've seen it. And then you quickly type amen. Not only that, you embarrass your pastor by posting it. You are a disgrace. You embarrass your pastor by reposting it. The hand that will type amen will seek God's favor this year. This year, when you saw it on the day you got saved, the goodness of God was extended towards you. You are now a son in Christ Jesus. I don't understand. That's what happens when people want to walk in the senses. You don't know who you are. So whoever walks up to you and tells you who you are or what they think you are, you will just agree because you don't know who you are. There's some prayers you should never, meetings you should never attend. There's some prayer points you should never pray. If you're still in that business of collecting prayer points, you are still lost as to who you are. You're not walking light yet. There's some people who are so religious, there is no prayer point they will pray in this world. As we're entering the ember months, and you already entered. Say with me, and you always say with me, hold your head, raise your leg, until you fall. As you raise your hand now with me, shout! And the phone you are praying to is not hard of hearing. And what you are shouting about, he has done. So your prayer is an expression of unbelief. And what it means. So many times we are practicing unbelief and we call it Christianity. It's not Christianity. It's not Christianity. Hallelujah. Jesus was asking them, I've asked you who men think I am. You've told me this is what, and what men thought Jesus was ridiculous. I mean, you physically saw John the Baptist bearded, and you still say that they think you are John the Baptist. Some say you are Elijah. That's the greatest insult. And they could think that Jesus is Elijah. They now surmise, some even say you are some of the prophets. And he says, who do you say that I am? What was Jesus trying to explain to them? He wanted them to understand that, listen, the way you see me, if you know who I really am, it will change your life. And as we go on in this series, I will show us that side by side, every time you see a prophecy concerning Jesus in the scriptures, note every time I see scriptures, now I speak about Genesis to Malachi. Whenever you see a prophecy concerning Jesus, before he ever became the incarnate one, before he was ever manifest in the flesh, every time you see a prophecy, wired into that prophecy is a prophecy concerning you, the believer. So you were spoken of before you came into being. And that's very important. So when Jesus said, who do you say that I am? And Peter made that bold statement. You are the Christ. Within the time frame that Peter said it, that was the greatest revelation they could have. They couldn't see beyond that. Which is, you are the one who is called of God to bear the sins of humanity. Because of John the Baptist's identification of Jesus, that was the reason why he was given that title, the senior prophet, prefect of all the prophets of the Old Testament. It was the only one who said, John chapter 1 verse 29, behold the Lamb of God that does what? Takes away the sins of the world. So the identity of Jesus is not a joking matter. It's crucial to the gospel. It's pivotal to your understanding who you are also. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John's gospel. John's gospel chapter 10. So you understand the kind of persecution Jesus faced and why he faced it. John's Gospel chapter 10. I'm going to start reading from verse 24. Okay. Are you with me? Then came the Jews run about him and said unto him, how long does thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us how. Plainly. So as far as I'm concerned, Jesus was using veiled speeches. So Jesus said, I told you and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Notice that. The works that I do in my Father's name or with my Father's authority, they bear witness of me. He says, but you believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep does do one. They hear my voice and I know them and they... Now, Jesus is now speaking beyond the understanding of the Pharisees. Because when he speaks about sheep there, he's talking about salvation. He's talking about that the time will come, I will call out my sheep. And those who are sheep, they will hear his voice or they will be saved. Hallelujah. If you want to understand what he said, we'll have to go back all the way to verse 1. You begin to see how he was speaking in parables. He was speaking about salvation. Let's move on. He says, verse 28. And I give unto them what? Did you see that? So what's he talking about when he says, my sheep hear my voice? Eternal. If you understand, so let me see that. Are you sure you understand? Okay. See what he says. And they shall never... Glory to God. So when people fight against eternal salvation, look at what Jesus said. When I give them, with what I give them and what they become, they shall never perish. See what he says? Neither shall any... Notice the word man is italicized. So what he really says is any. Any doesn't just mean man. There's nothing. That's what it means. Any means nothing at all. Not just man. Any. Neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. This is where trouble started. This is where trouble started. Look at what they did. Then the Jews took up stones again. So there was an attempt before. So the utterance of Jesus provoked the Jews. Now, again, if you don't know the Jewish custom, you won't know the gravity of what Jesus said. But as you read further, you'll now understand they knew what he was saying. They just couldn't believe that what he was. Because the concept of God having a son was strange to the Jews. So why did they take up stones to say him? Look at verse 32. Jesus answered them, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? Look at their response. The Jews answered him saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because that thou being a man, makest thyself. Do you know that statement is anti-salvation? That means they read the scriptures. Let me put John 5:39 on the screen. They read the scriptures, but they never understood what those scriptures meant. He said, for you being a man, you make yourself God. In other words, when you said, I am my Father, I won. There's a Jewish ceremony that I think is called the Bar Mitzvah. When a son comes of age. Now, this coming of age ceremony is such that the child will not be adopted. That was placing him as a son. The implication of that ceremony is this. Whenever the father is absent at a function, the son can fully represent the father. In other words, they will treat that boy the same way they treat his father. It's when the boy comes of age. They do a ceremony to let the public know that he has come of age or the father has committed certain responsibilities such that if he is not present, the same honor, respect that you accord the father, you accord the son. So when Jesus said, I am my father, I won, they knew what he was saying. That means if we see you, who have we seen? They took up stones. Now this is serious. This is blasphemy. How can you, a man, make yourself God? And that is the mystery of salvation. That's the mystery of redemption. God actually became a man. Once you can't accept that, you can't be saved. Hallelujah. I'm going to throw some punches. So, you know, pastors throw punches before we read the scriptures. In the book of John, chapter 14, Jesus told them, have I been so long with thee? Because Philip asked a question. Show us the Father plainly, and it will be okay for us. And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, Philip? And you are still saying, show us the Father. He that has seen me, has seen who? Listen, your understanding of God cannot be greater than your revelation of Jesus. Moses, David, Abraham, Elijah, Elisha, Nahum, Hosea, Daniel, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Zephaniah, Zechariah. Should I keep mentioning their names? They could never fully convey who God was. So many times they used language that was sense-based. So, you know, when you read the Old Testament, you hear that the earth is his footstool. Your mind is thinking of how big the leg is. But that's not what he's talking about. Hallelujah. You are having the same problem the Jews had. Because you have read the scripture that says that The earth is his footstool. Have you ever heard that says that all the waters of the world are in his palm? And yet you are thinking of ant. So you left scripture, you enter senses. Because I'm thinking, how big will the hand be when all the waters? He's speaking of authority. When he says the heart is his footstool, what do you use a footstool to do? It means his authority rests where? On the earth. So you're not thinking of leg. You know, when people get that, my father has a long leg. I want you to imagine this. God wanted to reveal himself, who he is, and he revealed through one person. Guess what? He was ordinary looking. You know, it's very interesting. Let me give you another illustration to help you. That's why I love the principle that Pastor Kumpoto one time said, less is more. Less is actually more. What that means is, you know, when you see people who are in authority, they don't have ears about them. Have you ever watched a video showing the detail? That's the Secret Service who surrounded Obama when he was president. Have you ever seen the detail? Those guys are big. In big, they are big. They train. They are muscular. They are martial arts experts. They are tall. The minimum height is 6 feet two. Upwards. Okay, see, the person that protects is like this. Okay? Now, when you see them, you'll be afraid of them. But they are afraid of who they are protecting. And it's not because of his size. It's because of the authority he carries. Authority is greater than power. Do you understand? So that God could manifest in the flesh and appear ordinary doesn't limit what he can do. Notice that the angels that protect us, I'm jumping ahead of myself, but let me just say one or two things, just watch up at that. That protect us. The Bible says they excel in, you know, the reason why in the Old Testament they will see angels and fall down, if you also see them the way they are huge beings. There are some angels that are as tall as this place, and some that are taller. You understand? Now, the Bible now says, as when you see their height and their size and their dimension, Hebrews 1:14 now says, are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? So those who they are ministering to have a larger stature. When I say stature now, I mean standing and status in God than the angel. So it's not the size, it's the authority and the placement. God has never said to an angel, thou art my son, but he said to you, thou art my son. Are you with me this morning? So what issues did they have with Jesus? They couldn't comprehend. How can the same God that appeared on Mount Sinai, even though to prove that it wasn't God that appeared, it's another problem entirely, can be like this? And you being a man, you make yourself God. Jesus kept declaring his identity. Let's read the scripture finally. Go back to that. John 5:9. Search the scriptures, he was telling the Jews, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. And they are they which what? Testify of me. The word search means investigate the scriptures. That's the same one the Bible uses when it says that the prophets of old, they inquired and searched diligently, trying to look for the time of the manifestation of the things they were reporting. So they reported certain things about Christ, but the things they reported was not within their time frame, or it wasn't in their dispensation. So when they were prophesying it, what they were speaking of, they were not partakers of. It was something that was going to happen in the future. Jesus now told them that, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have what? Eternal life. In the scriptures. For they are they which what? Testify, or they report of me. That's what it means. The report of the scripture is about who? It's about Jesus. Look at Luke chapter 24. Again, we're just starting off, so we're laying some foundations. It's important. Because if you don't understand these facts, it will be difficult for you, or it will show up in so many other areas of life. Luke chapter 24. I'm going to read from verse 24. Glory to God. And certain of them, are you there? This was on the road to Emmaus. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But in the son, so they were reporting to Jesus, who joined them like a stranger. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. This was after Jesus rose from the dead. I want you to see what happened. Then said he unto them, this is Jesus answering them, all fools are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Verse 26, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory. Look at previous verse again. All fools are slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have what? What's the summary of all the prophets have spoken? What's the summary of all the prophets have spoken? I didn't hear you. Look at that. Ought not Christ to have won? Suffered this is and to enter into his glory. In other words, all the prophets have said in times, in shadows, in various parables, in various statements, in various experiences, they all, you can summarize everything they've said in this statement. Christ will suffer and enter into his glory. Or he will crucify, he will resurrect, and he will ascend unto glory. That's the summary. That's what Jesus is saying. Let's jump all the way down to verse 44. Look at verse 44. Jesus speaks it up again. See what he says. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. What? Who is the subject of the law of Moses? Who is the subject of the law of Moses? Who is the subject of the Psalms? Who is the subject of the Old Testament? Listen carefully. When you are reading, Saul is pursuing David. And all you can see is Saul pursuing David. You are reading my book of Bible stories. Look at what Jesus said. These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. In other words, every single thing is pointing to a person, his work, the reality of God's plan and purposes, which is redemption, is what it's all pointing to. So in other words, if you don't have Christ, you can't decode anything they said in the Old Testament. Christ is a magnifying glass that makes the mystery of the Old Testament become light and truth and understanding to us. That's what it means. Hallelujah. I jumped the scripture. Look at verse 27. It says, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. He expanded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. In other words, it was not everything that was written by the prophets that was speaking about Jesus. Jesus selected the area where they were accurate. That's what it means. It means he took them through all the scriptures and he was extracting, line by line, precept upon precept, the where the scriptures were referring to him. You know, he opened their eyes to see, I am the one, I am the subject that the scriptures are referring to. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So the only times he had a major challenge were times when he spoke about his identity. He kept declaring who he was. And even the disciples didn't fully understand who he was, because they understood him in the four gospels, and the four gospels are eyewitness accounts. That means even the four gospels cannot fully reveal to you who Christ is, and by extension can reveal to you who you are. The Bible is one of the most referred books in the world. There is no religion that doesn't refer to the Bible. I heard of this man, I think Mahatma Gandhi, before he passed on, he used to study the Bible. In fact, he used to believe that if everyone practiced the principles that Jesus taught, but he never received. Because you can't be saved by reading the Gospels. It is by understanding what took place in the epistles that salvation comes. Say amen. So, one is meant to lead you to that. Go back to that John chapter 16 now. That will make more sense now. Go to chapter 16. John chapter 16. Are you coming along this morning? Our identity is extremely important. It guards or influences our actions. It detects our motives. It influences all that we do. If you don't know who you are, you believe anything that is offered to you. John chapter 16, are you there? Let's read from verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Albeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will what? Guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. Now, realize that in the background of this is this, Jesus has already told them that I will go away. And we've explained in many of our teachings, what does it mean for him to go away? He will go by the way of the cross. He will pay the price for you and I to become sons and daughters of God. And it is going away at the resurrection that the Spirit will be given at his ascension. So Jesus now saying that when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, you can summarize it this way. When will the Spirit of truth come? After Jesus rises from the dead, after he ascends and he sits. That's when the Spirit of truth will come. After he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. How did this stand? I have yet many things to say unto you. So when Peter told him in Matthew chapter 16, and he says, "You are Christ, the Son of the living God," that wasn't all there was to Jesus. That was Jesus, the incarnate one. That was Jesus, the one who will pay the price for our sins. He said nothing about the resurrected Lord. And his full revelation is not as the incarnate one, or as what we call Emmanuel. It was in the light of what he will accomplish by his resurrection. Say amen. Hallelujah. That is the key that unlocks who the believer is. It is in his resurrection that our confidence is. It is in the resurrection that our identity is found. So what Peter gave was a partial revelation in the Gospels. So when he declared to Jesus, "You are Christ, not living on," that was revelation. That was true. But that was a limited understanding of who Jesus was. There was still the veil of the senses, and the Spirit had not yet come because Jesus was not yet glorified. So when he says, "When he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." See what he says. "He shall not speak of himself, or his testimony will be solely of me. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak." He will show you what? Things to come. Now, things to come here is not necessarily speaking about future revelation. It's talking about the revelation of the epistles. It's talking about the light of the new creation. What will take place after Jesus has glorified? So, Jesus couldn't begin to explain to them with their understanding what it will mean for him to resurrect or be glorified. It was going to be difficult. There were things he told them when he was with them that they found difficult to accept. So without the help of the Spirit, the reality of the identity couldn't be communicated. That was Jesus saying. Hallelujah. So you understand, when we're praying Ephesians 1, look at Ephesians 1. We're coming back here. Ephesians 1. From verse 17. Or let's say from verse 16. And I want every one of us to read. Now, if you're praying this prayer on your own, at home, by now, you should be able to quote it by heart. If you can't quote it by heart, it's not because you are dull, it's because you have not been praying it. Whatever you are repeating, how many of you have called your spouse by another name? Pastor Jimmy said, It sounds like you say you forgot your wife's birthday. What is the consequence? You will not forget again. You will know why you won't forget again. I mean, you just once, you will not forget again. You will permanently remember after the drama has played out. "Who cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of what? Glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him." The emphasis of this passage is him. Because you are one with him. But the question is, who is him? You are not called to understand yourself. You are called to understand him. It is in understanding him that you now know who you are. Let me say that again. Remember when Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter spoke up. What was Jesus' response? "Flesh and what? Blood has not revealed this." But who? Who? Listen carefully. Are you a son like Jesus is a son? Answer the question. Are you a son like Jesus is a son? Why do you think flesh and blood can reveal who you are? Answer the question. Think about it. If you are a son, like he's a son, what makes you think your senses can tell you who you are? What makes you think your experience can tell who you are? Jesus wasn't defined by his miracles, and he did miracles. And Peter didn't say, "Since you are working miracles, you are the Son of God." No, he said, what you just said now, when he said, "You are the Christ," or "the anointed one," only the Father could have told you. In other words, the revelation of what Jesus was couldn't be found in what he was doing. He wasn't the only prophet who worked miracles. He was found in what the Father revealed. So when the Bible is saying here that God will grant you spiritual revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding what? Enlightened. That you may know. He's saying it comes by revelation. And Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, you can have a state of existence. You can have a reality and not understand it. That's what it means. And if you don't understand it, you will never be able to fully walk in it. That's what it means. You will be able to fully walk in it. So he says, the answer has not been enlightened. You may know what the Lord is calling, and what the riches of the glory of inheritance in the saints, and what is the one? Exceeding greatness of his what? Power. Don't necessarily get to power yet. Because many believers confess powerlessness based on situation and experiences. You can't consult your feeling and know where you are. The word of God is no respecter of your feelings. The word of God is no respecter of your experiences. The Bible says you are holy and without blame. That's the word of God. That's superior to what people told you. That's superior to what you experience or the way you feel. The Bible says you are complete in Him. Who is the head? It didn't say you feel like. It said you are. Say, I am. That's revelation. That's why we pray. If you don't pray those things, they will sound like fairy tales. You know? And who you are informs what you do. Stay in the spirit. I want to give you a kind of illustration, but stay in the spirit. Stay in the spirit. Don't get to the senses. If I walk up to my wife and I kiss her, is it right or wrong? You see church people. Now, probably you just say that. But if I walk up to me, so they me and kiss her, you know, you won't ignore someone again. This is all you're saying. If you come to our church today, in our church. Now, why would you say that? Because of what you saw. The action is not wrong. It is the person who is doing it that is wrong. So, it's not the... If you take a knife and cut somebody open, it's called murder. Well, if a doctor cuts somebody open, it's surgery. Is that so? Since you are not a doctor, what have you just done? Murder. But if you're a doctor, what would they call it? So why are they changing the name of it? It's because of the person. So it's the identity that matters. It's not the action, it's the identity. When Cornelius, when he came to Jesus by Nicodemus, when he came to Jesus by night, look at what he said. We know that our teacher come from God. For no man can do this miracle, so he was defined Jesus' identity by miracles. Then Jesus said, no, that's not the issue. It's not the miracles that I do, it is who I am. It is the Father's works, and I testify of who I am. It is not the miracles that make me. I make the miracles. That's what Jesus told him. But Nicodemus came and told him, look at this guy. No man can do these miracles except God be with him. He was saying, it's not that God is with me. God lives in me. So Jesus was pointing attention to his identity. It's not a matter of just walking. That's why I'm different from every other prophet. I and my Father, we are one. Glory to God. And that's the root of your identity in Christ. So he says, a function of prayer. The same way Jesus was telling before he went to the cross, about the fact that he says, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will you will need guidance. Because things happen when you make Jesus Lord that you don't even realize. And the epistles are an unfolding and unveiling of all the things that happened. So you won't be acting like a beggar. John chapter 1. Verse 10. Are you with me this morning? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let me ask you a question. Why do you pray for the sick? Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't work. There are many reasons for that. Sometimes the person you're praying for is not cooperating. Many times you got results because at one time you were conscious of who you were, at other times you were not. How many of you know I'm talking about? It means that you are not always at the same level of consciousness at all times. So today you are excited. There's this revelation of who you are. Now that revelation automatically releases power. And because you're conscious, there's a boldness with which you approach issues. And other times, you are acting like you are the most persecuted person in this world. And like I tell people, except we're slow or dull of understanding, you are always believing that God will help you. And say, only God can help me this month. I'm telling you. This month, I've finished your money for this month already. Only God can. But that's what you said last year. And you are here. And he didn't fail you. Why are you thinking he will fail now? So you are the one who is inconsistent. He never fails, never changes. The same way as he helped you before, he will help you again. Say amen. Amen. So it doesn't change. So whose consciousness fluctuates? Your consciousness. So today you lay hands. Man, that meeting was powerful. As I just lay hands like this, you were conscious. God is not the one who is giving more power. You are the one who is more what? Conscious. And when you were more conscious, there was a flow. But that flow is always there. But the consciousness of your identity governs the flow. Did you hear what I said? How do we know you are not conscious? He won't lay hands on the sick. Where's Pastor Tolu? He's a man of God. Where's Pastor Tolu? God is using him mightily in healing. Why is he not using you? You are not using yourself. That's the problem. So your consciousness is the issue. Hallelujah. Are you in John chapter 1? Verse 10, quickly. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Did you see that? The world knew them, that they didn't recognize him for who he was. The world knew him not. Go to 1 John chapter 3. The same word, new, yeah, is used. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I will shout when I get here. It says, behold, gaze, look at, observe. What manner of love the Father has bestowed. The word bestowed means something given that you had nothing to do with. Let me say that again. Something that was freely given, you woke up to, you had nothing to do with it, with the giving. You did nothing for it to be given except to believe. What manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called what? We call what? The sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it... Don't go too far in your thinking. Just be someone who understands English language. If he didn't know him, he doesn't know us, because the one he didn't know and we are the same. That's what he's saying. So he says the world can't tell you who you are. They couldn't tell him who he was. And you come from the same Father. So your identity, only one person knows it, the Father. Only the Father can reveal you are. You know, that's why I don't understand why believers react. When you hear them say that, and you call yourself a Christian, the person that is commenting doesn't know who a Christian is. You will imagine people's opinion. The person who just said that doesn't even know who a Christian is. Say, and you call yourself a Christian, and the person's image of a Christian is somebody who is obeying 10 commandments. And who is giving alms. Somebody was saying one time, you know, doesn't your church engage in social welfare? I said, no. When individuals come and they have them, when we can, but we don't do programs in, Jesus didn't do programs in social welfare. What the Bible instructs us that we should help those who are within the household of faith. Did you hear what I said? He didn't say we should be holding charity function. That's not the function of the church. You won't find anywhere in the Bible where you are holding charity functions. No, that's not the function of the church. We are to help those who are what? Members of what? The household. You have not helped them. You are distributing free rice. That's evangelism. That's publicity. There's a difference. So they come and tell you, based on their preconception of what a believer is, say, and you call yourself a Christian, and the person that's talking doesn't know who a believer is. And you believe them. You now leave, start feeling bad. And your identity, only your Father can reveal. The world knew him not, and the world doesn't know us also. Look at the next verse. Beloved, now, hallelujah. Glory to God. Say now. Now are we the sons of God. Hallelujah. Say now. Are we? When you read it tomorrow, what will this say? Now. Think about it. That means there is never any time you vacate that office. You're always a son. Pray like one. Sing like one. Act like one. Worship like one. Praise like one. Carry yourself like one. It will always say now. Now are you the son of God. It doesn't say anything about conduct. It's telling you the light of that truth will change your conduct. That's what it means. When I first got saved, I didn't know why they told us in the 80s that, you know, go and read the Gospel of John first. I didn't know. It was yesterday I understood why. Because the Gospel of John was the closest possible to the epistles. Because if you start with the Old Testament, you'll be lost. In rules and regulations. And that's one of the reasons I said that sometimes a prayer call is made. And some people are going, the reason why things are not working is because of the name you are bearing. Ogunshina. Can't you see Oguns at the beginning of your name? That's why things are not making progress. Do a name change. Peter and James are called sons of thunder. They don't do name change. Think about it. If someone was applying to a company and he went to one of these deliverance theaters. It can't be church, it's theater. And they told him there that, you know, it's because of the Ogun, the prefix before your name. We need to change it. So God guided him to a minister who now told him that What's the name of the company you want to apply to? You mention your name. Yeah. So they now told you that it's your forefathers and ancestors and Ogun that's loving you. Say, but the CEO of that company is also bearing Ogun. How come it didn't affect him? Receive sense and wisdom. They are telling you that they come from your forefathers. It didn't tell you that you also carry a generational blessing. And you went for the program. Every course. You know, by going for the program, you submitted to course. Because you have been accepted that there's course. That's what it means. You're having negative experiences. Paul, who had their religion, said that in persecutions often, in afflictions, Paul, you don't have more religion than Paul. And he didn't say, the father of my father. The idol they were worshipping. Paul didn't say so. He knew. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivers them out of every one of them. Glory to God. That's how, I mean, you are in honor. You are seated in the highest place. You fall for deception. Any single prayer meeting. There are prayer meetings you avoid like the plague. You shouldn't be found there. I was sharing the other day, for those who are trying to make heaven, I hope you are not here. I hope you are not here trying to make heaven. I hope you know that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places. I hope making heaven is not your destination, your goal. Preaching the gospel is your destination and what? Your goal. Say amen. Amen. It took us fell. When he came back in Intel's animation. Lazarus died. When he came back in Intel's animation. But when they died and came back, I saw Apostle Peter at the gate. And he said, is this weaver that you are using that we can't allow you to enter? Somebody who has died, the spirit has a weaver. You know, some things don't make any sense. The spirit is using hearing. Your spirit man is wearing hearing. Does that make any sense to you? And then you believe the person. You know, say that we have checked the book. Your name is not, are you not sure, Godikpe? Your name is not here. And you think in the book of life there are literal names. You think it is Dino Mavobi that is there. I don't understand. You need to renew your mind. That's you are thinking literally, whichever name was not found written. So you are thinking of individuals' names. That's where having belief. So whenever somebody asks you, is your name written? And then I'm guilty also because look at the kind of sermons that we preached. In those days, we didn't know any other thing to preach because you prepare sermon that will make people cry. Because if they are not crying, the spirit is not moving. Yes, from the choir to the drummer, they must cry. So the kind of sermons you bring out is such that check your life. Is there anything there? If Jesus comes today, will you go? If you cannot make it, come out. You have gone for altar call. Or even the altar is tired of seeing you. Because you have never known who you really are. That's the problem. You don't know who you really are. You've gone so frequently that even the person who is making altar call say, this is just your second time in last 2 months that you are coming here. Go back. You know what? We fall for those things because there's no consciousness of identity. As he is, so are we. Colossians 3:1-2. Let's read Colossians 3:1-2. I want you to be conscious of who you are. Your identity is what gives back to your actions. Your actions don't make you a son. Being a son gives back to the right actions. Hallelujah. You cannot behave yourself in salvation. Say amen. But because you are saved, your conduct can help you to behave. Your nature can help you to behave. See what it says. If you then, every time you see the word if, before a statement of facts in the scriptures, because one if and the word since are about the same. So when you see the word if and it precedes a statement of fact, you can change it to since. Since you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are what? Above where Christ is on the right hand of God, set your affection or your emotions on the things above, not on the things where? On the heart. Next verse. For you are dead. Are you physically dead? Are you physically dead? So he's saying that you are, what dead means? Dead means separation from what is on the earth spiritually. You are being separated by salvation in Christ Jesus from what is on the earth. Therefore, you are dead and your life is it with who? with Christ in God. Do you know that statement, what it means? If you don't make it, Christ can't make it. Your life is not separate from his. Your life is his. Your life is in with Christ in God means that the way God wired you is that you are always in Christ. And because you are in Christ, you can't make heaven. You are there already. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, again, like I said, when you see making heaven as an event, there's a problem. The only person you can preach making heaven to are those who are not saved. It is through salvation that they include make heaven. But you're already saved. There's something bigger than making heaven. You already were seated in where? Heavenly places. So understand the language of scripture. See what it says. Verse 4. For when Christ, glory to God, who is Christ? When he shall appear, who else will appear with him? 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 So it doesn't matter what your name is upon the earth. Who gave you your name upon the earth? Your father, your mother. Who gave you a name in the spirit? The father. What is your name in the spirit? Son. Because you are a son. God has sent the spirit of his son into you. Whereby you cry what? Abba, Father. That's what it means. That's how your name is in the book of life. It's not James. Hallelujah. That's not what's recorded there. By being saved, your name is in the book. You have the very life of God. Hallelujah. Say, have the life of God. When Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then I also shall what? Appear with him in glory. There is no appearing of him without appearing of me. His appearance is my appearance. That's what it means. That's my identity. I can't be separated from that identity. That's who I am now. That's who I will always be. Hallelujah. I pray without consciousness. I sing without consciousness. I worship without consciousness. And as we go on, I will show you why the highest revelation you can have of God is as Father. It's not as El Elyon, Jehovah Megadishkem, Jehovah Sikenu, Roy, Rafa. No, no, no. That's not the highest. Think about it. The only begotten Son, he has revealed him. And how did he reveal him? Father. No prophet. No Old Testament prophet. The patriarch ever said Father to God. Ever said so. El Gibor. The names are plenty. If you continue. And you can get lost in those names. Yeah, that wasn't fully who he really was. Who he really is one. Say Father. Tell your neighbor. Be satisfied with Father. Be satisfied. Don't say a Lord Boboro. You don't need. You know, let me say this. You know, see, one of the reasons why we're in our mind, because I know some of you may not really like what I'm saying, but I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you. Africans are wonderful people. You know, when you are trooping to heaven, your own trooping will be different. Even God will say, my people have arrived. Because you like them more. Ah! You understand? There's this African mindset, which is not rooted in scripture, that makes you feel, because if you chant praises to an ordinary man, he will feel excited. So unconsciously you want to excite God. You're not telling me his foot is big like this. His head is big like that's amoeba-ish. But if you tell him who he really is, when you call him Father, his heart is excited. Because that's who he really is. He doesn't need all those names. The one who sits on the circumference of the heaven, he doesn't need those ones. When you say the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, my Father, the one who personally paid for my sins and justified me, is excited. That's true worship. They worship shadows. You are worshiping the reality. Hallelujah. Based on who? Your identity. It's so important we understand, because someone says, why did they don't use all those names in this church? If they really use those names now, I'll just Google like this. I'll be like this. And then God will see the way I'm doing like this. You are the one that will feel the backache after. It's not God. Because that's not what excites him. You can do all those things in unbelief. You can. But in the reality of who he really is, how does he want to be known? Father. Imagine if you had to recite all those names and their definition and you get lost. El Shaddai. Why are you laughing? I hope you know that's your inner collection. It's not Shaddai. Shaddai is not the name. It's Shaddai. And it means something. And it was a fraction of his personality in that name. So when all the time you are praying, oh God, El Shaddai, El Elyon, El Gibor, I'm just looking at you. Shaddai, El Elyon, Gibor, Roy, Rafa, Sekenu, did he save you? It is the Father that saved you through his Son.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we have left the senses. We're now where? In the Spirit. Get used to those simple terminologies. I am in Christ. It will show us in the prepositions of the gospel, of the epistles rather, lies the power of God. In the prepositions. In Christ is the reality of who a believer is. And in Christ there's no condemnation. In Christ you have been judged, you will never be judged again. In Christ there can be no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation them who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit that gives life in Christ has made you what? Free from the law of sin and what? And death. Glory to God. This is who we are. This is what we are called to enjoy. This is where we are meant to walk. If you are sure and you are confident that sin will never be imputed to you again, there's a way you will behave, there's a way you walk, there's a way you will sing, there's a way you praise. There's also a way you will preach the gospel because you are bold. You are a son. And you will always be what? A son. Servants walk to earn wages. Sons walk to express divine approval. A son doesn't work for wages. Everything the father has is his. So he works not to get the father's approval. He works to express the father's approval. There's a difference. But servants is only wages. They are interested in what they can get. But the son is not working for wages. The business is his. That's his inheritance. Hallelujah. So he's working with a confidence, a consciousness. I'm not doing this so that the father can be pleased. I'm actually doing it because the father is already pleased. And I'm showing that he's already pleased. Lift your hands and bless him this morning and thank him. Say, I'm my father's son. I'm a son of the father in Christ Jesus. There is therefore now no condemnation concerning me. I receive the spiritual wisdom and revelation in knowledge of Christ. The eyes of my understanding, they have been enlightened. I know what is the hope of his calling and the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. I am a saint. The riches of God's glorious inheritance lies in me. That inheritance responds to me. I know who I am. I am who he says I am. I am what he says I am. Hallelujah.